everybody. It's TJ.
And Celine.
And we're back with another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out Two Nerdy Things. It's our theme song. So, we are here today.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about vitamins.
Yes.
And the effect they have on the human body. Mm-hmm. And the benefits.
So many.
That come from taking them. And why you should take them.
And which ones to take, really.
Yes.
You know, we're going to break down our schedule.
Regimen.
Yeah. Yes. And TJ's really going to kick it into high gear for you and tell you.
We're going to go through the vitamins we take.
Yeah.
And talk about them in detail.
Each and every single one.
Yep. Because there's many.
I take 12.
I take about 6. So about half of what you take.
I actually think I only take like 6.
Yeah.
They're right here, by the way, to present to you guys. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah, I take 6.
Yep. So let's get started with that. So the first vitamin I take.
I'm just kidding.
Well, my antidepressant, first of all.
Anti-anxiety for me, baby.
Mine's antidepressant and anti-anxiety. So without that bitch, I'd be a hot mess.
Mine literally lowers my heart rate because my heart rate's too fast at a natural speed.
Yep. We're not talking about that.
But I don't know if you heard me, but I almost broke like 5 different times.
It was the first thing I could think of.
Vitamins. And yep. I was like, fuck.
I was like, I don't know what else. I told Celine I actually had a funny one that I wanted to talk about this last week. And I should have wrote it down because it was funny.
Next time, write it down because you're going to remember it.
Yeah. But I saw vitamins. I'm like, let's talk about vitamins. No, we're not talking about vitamins. What are we talking about, Celine?
Did you almost forget my name?
No. I was going to call you Salinas.
Salinas. Timoteo.
Timoteo. Tejota.
We're talking about Moon Knight episode 5.
Yeah, we are.
It was, okay, just to be frank with you guys, because it can't be Bill. It was.
I'll be Charlie.
It was a kind of a hullabaloo, honestly.
A humdinger.
A humdinger, truly. So where we left off 2 weeks ago.
I just want to say, I'm very proud of both of us because we avoided spoilers for over a week for episode 5. Literally, I had no idea what to expect. I unfollowed all of my Marvel fan sites because I did not want any spoilers.
I unfollowed everything on every social media.
Yep. And honestly, I'm going to do that until we see Doctor Strange tomorrow. Yeah. So we both waited
almost 2 weeks
to watch this with each other.
Yep.
It was a rough 2 weeks.
I felt like I had like nothing to like do without it. I don't know. You know, like when you're watching TV, like we were mindlessly watching TV on vacation and I was like,
yeah,
not the same. Not quite the same.
Yeah. So we waited 2 weeks to watch the final 2 episodes. And where did we leave off?
Last, just to recap, the 4th episode, if you guys have been with us, I'm just recapping for us, the end. It ended with them in like a psych ward, and we got to meet Goddess Tuaret, who is a giant hippo, and she is the goddess that takes you through your past. So the goddess of fertility and like life. So we met her, and then episode 5, we got to really meet her.
Episode 5, we went even further down the rabbit hole. We're like already pretty far down the rabbit hole.
I would say we're not at the bottom yet, though.
No.
No. Not in episode 5. Like, in the beginning of.
Not even really in episode 6.
No.
But we'll talk about that later.
No. I don't think we ever reach the doors to Wonderland.
No. We get close.
Very.
But we're, this whole show, we're falling down the rabbit hole. And trying to figure out. Trying to break a breaker one nine. I got a Texas size 10-4 over.
Texas ass tampon.
Go ahead, rubber duck.
What is that from?
I don't know.
That was good.
My one friend that Starbucks used to say it. Rubber duck, I got a Texas size 10-4 over.
Texas size 10-4.
No, we are just falling down the rabbit hole, trying to decipher what's happening, what's going on. And you think episode 5 is going to be like, oh, we hit the bottom? No.
It keeps going.
Yeah.
So, you should watch the show, because it's a lot to explain to you with this episode. But I will go through some things, and TJ will go through some things, and hopefully it helps you piece together what we couldn't piece together quite yet.
Yeah.
This episode is genuinely based in Mark and Steven's memories, and we learn about their past, and we actually get to meet Mark's parents, Elias and Wendy Spector, and we learn a few things about Mark and Steven. We get the origin story, per se, of Steven. Because Mark is the original body, or the original host, I should say. Mm-hmm.
Up until this point, we've known the most about Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's kind of been supposedly the main character of the show.
Yeah.
This episode, I would say, is Mark's episode.
Yeah.
And
it flips the script on who's the main character.
Yeah. I would say it's his episode, and you get to... I'd say it's probably the best episode of the series,
mm-hmm.
because generally episode 5 of Marvel shows is the best.
Yeah.
And I agree, this episode 5 was the best of the whole show.
Somebody said to TJ that it was heartbreaking, and it really is in some parts. It's very sad, and it is really dark for a Marvel show, you know?
It's dark, and it's also like, it's not scary. But it's spooky. Yeah,
it's spooky. It gives you kind of the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. So this episode is more Mark's episode. And the whole show deals with mental illness. But
yes.
This episode deals with mental illness and why people resort to the things they do sometimes.
Yeah. So. Or what you need to do in order to protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
what the brain will do to protect itself, really.
Which I think is very true for people who've been through trauma.
I think a lot of us do it.
Mm-hmm.
We all,
in some capacity.
In some capacity we do it. We will forget the things that hurt us the most. We'll mm-hmm. repress it. I think dissociative identity disorder is taking it a step further and creating like a barrier with a person that you made up. A couple high points of the show are the memories that we come across.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first more interesting memories that we get very slight glimpse of is through a door we see Mark standing outside of a building behind a car taking a sip of a flask with no context to what that is. We see Mark looking at it like with kind of fright and fear in his face, or sadness, I don't know, both. I think that's one of the bigger moments that gets connected really well later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show it at the beginning and then you find out at the end why.
Yeah. And then we finally, Steven goes into a room because Mark's like, stop, like, don't dig in, don't, like, do this. Because he knows that Steven doesn't understand that, like, these things are much darker than he even knows.
Well, because, I mean, we're inside of Mark and Steven's psyche right now.
Yeah.
And Mark is still trying to protect Steven because Steven is the more sensitive
one. He doesn't know.
He's unaware. He's the more sensitive one.
Yeah.
So he's still trying to do it in his own psyche, doing everything he can to protect him.
I agree. So Steven goes into a memory without Mark, and it ends up being Mark's childhood.
Mark ends up getting locked out.
Yeah, Mark is locked out. He locks the, like, a hospital door behind him, and he's in this, like, backyard, and he sees a family, and it's actually Mark and his little brother and his parents. And they end up going, they ask their parents, they can go to a, like, cave-type thing, and they get a flash flood, because it rains too hard, and one can infer that the brother dies. They don't say it inherently, but they do later, not right away. And therein comes the change in what Mark has to go through. One, he's traumatized because his brother died. And two, his mother starts to blame him for his brother's death, which I said immediately. I was like, it's more her fault than it is his. Which is, I think maybe is the problem as a parent, is why you need to blame somebody else.
Yeah. More her fault. And also just a freak accident, you know? But you can't help but want to place the blame on someone.
You can't, but it's so unfair to do that to a child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't make it right by any means.
I know she had a fractured, head probably and fractured psyche, but, I could never imagine blaming my child for it, you know?
No.
Especially because they don't get it either. They're sad, too.
Mm-hmm. They're grieving just like you are.
Yeah. And so Mark's mom starts to become fairly, verbally abusive and says, very mean shit to him. And his dad really, doesn't do a whole lot about it.
He tries to protect him, but he doesn't really say anything to the mom.
No.
He's just trying to keep everything normal.
Yeah, keep the balance.
The new normal.
Yeah. And this is where Steven starts to, see... And he's like, oh, mom wasn't, she's being weird, you know, that's weird.
Because Steven doesn't know anything about this.
No, he's been shielded, much like Mark has been shielded from some stuff because of Steven.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So we finally get to one of the most heartbreaking scenes to me. Not because of the context of the scene, but more so because of... Steven understanding what's happening and Mark understanding that Steven's seeing it. His mom comes upstairs and she's banging on the door. This is when we see the original transition and he becomes Steven. Mark becomes Steven. And he literally goes, oh, gotta sort this out before mom comes in here. And they pan to the poster and it's see no fear, feel no fear or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings you to the point that Steven they haven't really announced this, but he really isn't that scared of anything. He's more just befuddled. He's what the fuck is happening?
Just shocked, I think how most people would be.
Yeah, but he's never really no. He's just okay.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably why he so easily took to the Mr. Knight suit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that Mark is using Steven as his, protector, you know, to protect him from mom. And she comes in with a leather belt and says, you know, I've got to teach you this lesson you'll never learn.
She's moved past verbally abusive to not being physically abusive.
Yep.
Very physically abusive.
Yep. And, the whole episode is them move. That was one of the more traumatic points. It kind of, from there, it gets kind of repetitive of what happens. And then mm-hmm. we link back to that scene I talked about, which was Mark standing in front of a building with a flask. It's actually his mom's funeral.
Yeah. Mom, I think, became an alcoholic.
Yeah.
More than likely passed away from alcoholism.
Yeah.
I mean, if I lost my own kid, I can't say I probably wouldn't do the same.
No, I agree.
Know?
I totally agree.
I think any parent, I mean, I'm not a parent, so I've never lost a child, but I think any parent who has lost a child, how they don't fall into some sort of... drugs, alcohol.
To numb something.
Right. I just... Great that people... That a lot of people don't do that, but I just don't get how you couldn't. You know? Anyways, go ahead.
No. Continue onward. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, we're talking about the funeral.
Yeah. So he's at the funeral and... He's getting a little bit drunk and, you know, he's crying because he's grieving, but he also doesn't want to grieve somebody who treated him so poorly. And his dad says, come in and hold Shiva. Holding Shiva is going into mourning.
I did not know that, by the way.
The Jewish faith mourns for, I think 4 days, 5 days. I could be wrong. I could Google it too, but... So his dad gestures him to come in and he just says no. He shakes his head no. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a week-long mourning period in Judaism for first-degree relatives. So, your immediate relatives.
Yeah.
It's close.
You were close. I didn't even know what it was. So.
I took theology, so I know more about religions than I probably
should. I'm amazing. Just kidding.
I am. What do you mean?
No, I'm serious. What?
I wasn't kidding.
Right.
I'm still not kidding.
I'll be like, oh, whatever. Side note, whenever it's like something at work, I'm like, God, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. Close, but not perfect.
Look, honestly, I am. Yes. Okay. I would stop right there and be like, yep. You know what? I lied to you. Perfection lies within me.
Yep.
And me alone.
Yep. Exactly.
So he doesn't go into the funeral and he fully breaks down on his knees, crying. Eyes are red. So Mark's eyes are red. And then he goes into a fugue state and switches to...
Which, before we switch to that, can I say he's a great crier?
His eyes get red immediately. It's but like, amazing.
You just want to hug him.
Don't you want to cry? I was like...
Oh. Like, there's very few actors and actresses who, like, when they cry, you're like...
He makes me want to cry.
I want to give him a hug. Yeah. Like, Jennifer Garner, when she cries, on, like, when she was on movies and stuff, I'd be like, you just want to give her a hug. He's a great crier.
She just... Her, like... Her eyes purse and she just gets, and then she gets
and she gets the big like crocodile tears.
She gets glory tears, I call them. They just like without even like sobbing, they start to go down.
Yes.
I'm like, dear God, this woman's gonna kill me. I always cry when she cries.
Yes. And there's other actors too I can't think of, but he's a great crier. Anyways, go ahead.
He is a good crier. So his eyes are red and Mark is having a breakdown. He goes into a fugue state, switches to Steven, and Steven's eyes are still red. But can we just talk about the phenomenal acting of Oscar Isaac to switch into Steven?
Right.
He was literally having a breakdown, and he was just like, oh, bloody hell, where am I?
Bloody hell.
I don't even... Mom, you'll never believe it. I'm lost again. It's Milwaukee Avenue. I don't know.
I don't know.
Shoes.
In it, though.
It's water. Sorry, we do this every episode.
We really do, but it's just fun.
So he turns into Steven, and just the acting. Like, if I'm going to give this show anything, I'm going to give Oscar Isaac just acting.
The Oscar.
The Oscar. If he can
Oscar
win an Oscar.
Oscar,
Oscar. Oscar, Oscar. Oscar, Oscar, we know about it. No. I would give him... He needs to win an Emmy for this role, by the way. Like, he is playing... two men very differently.
Yes. I'll talk more about... Remind me to talk more about that next episode.
Yeah, we will. I do want to do like a quick analysis of their clothing and why I think that one is wearing dark, which is Steven is wearing dark clothing and Mark is wearing light clothing. I think it's because it's... Initially we said like, oh, that's the good one, that's the bad one, or like it has something to do with their personality or something. I think it's... Mark is the original personality, and that's just, like, a runoff. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's an all-white because he's, like, the pure personality. Mm-hmm. Not pure in, like, a biblical sense, but he's, like, the original pure beginning. He's the starter Pokemon.
He is the starter. I thought Mark was in white and Steven was in gray.
Mm-mm. Mark was in white and Steven was in black. That's what I'm saying. Mark is the original personality, so he's white.
Okay. I thought you said the opposite.
Maybe I did, but I meant Mark.
So, okay, we need to come back to that, too.
Okay.
Next episode, because I have a theory about that.
Okay.
So,
Oscar for Oscar.
And clothing.
Yeah.
For episode 6. Go ahead.
Oscar, clothing.
I was going to talk about it now, but I can't.
No, I know what you're going to say, too, so I'll pause. Yeah. And then, we're trying, on the other end of the spectrum, Tawara is trying to get Layla to get Khonshu out of his shell because Amit is being risen, and then we literally meet her, and she's like a ginormous alligator.
She's like, almost reminds me of like Medusa almost.
Yeah, she's very creepy.
Yeah, but like, not story-wise, because Medusa's story is very sad.
Medusa's story is sad. Yes. She just looks like similar.
Yeah, like similar, serpent-like. Like the way she moves, serpent-like, yeah. And mm-hmm. Just like really... creepy.
Yeah. So we meet her, and Harrow becomes her avatar, and you know, we get a little bit of a twist where
I think it's next episode.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength. Okay, so
but they hint at it.
They hint at it. They mention it. They mention it, and I won't go into it because we'll just mention it next episode. So you'll just have to tune in for the next one to understand what I was talking about.
Exactly.
Anyway, so the episode is essentially them, the Earthside people trying to free, or the Earthside people being Layla trying to free Khonshu. She does. And he's like, Mark's not here, bitch. And she's like, I know.
So this is where I say they hint at it, because he says, will you become my Moon Knight?
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck no.
I love that she said no.
Yeah. She's like, no. She goes, I saw what you did. She says that.
You made him miserable.
You made him miserable and literally a living nightmare or something. You made his life a living nightmare. Yep. And she's like, no. So they're hinting at something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's all I got to say about that.
Oh, love. So then let's switch back to Steven and Mark. They're coming to the end of the road to the Field of Reeds. And they have finally, like, they finally have accepted one another as one. Like, they're not, like, two separate entities. They are one together.
Yeah, they're not fighting each other
And they're anymore. Not fighting each other. They're working together.
And it really doesn't click until they're, like, mid-fight.
They're literally, well, then Steven says something. He's like, if I'm you, then I can do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Or he says, then I can, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts fighting. And that's, like, when it literally, the scales stop because they start fighting together rather than like one doing something and the other not.
Yeah.
And
well, we didn't really talk about the scales.
Oh, I suppose we didn't.
So the scales, they're like,
so it's a measurement.
Yeah.
Of getting into heaven or hell.
Right. And they're, because it's Mark and Steven, they're unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
They're undecided on what I'm shaking my hands here. They can see what I'm doing, but they're unbalanced and they're shaking back and forth because they're not, like you said, they're not one.
Yeah. They're not whole with each other.
Yeah. Yet. So that's the scales. Cause we didn't really talk about
it. No, we didn't. That was a good call. So the scales are shaking and then they finally still, while they're like literally mid fight and fighting these like zombie things that are coming out of the underworld, which is where they are. Cause they're on, if you've ever heard of like, Chiron, taking the ferry to the underworld. If you've ever heard Greek mythology, this is essentially what's happening in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Tuaret is Chiron, and she's taking them through, basically, to the underworld on her boat.
The Field of the Dead.
Yeah. Essentially, what would be the river Styx is like the Duat, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar. Again, like I always say, cultures are similar because they've all come from the same origin. So that's why
just different stories.
Yeah, just different stories from different languages. And so they're taking the Duat.
But the philosophical question, it makes you wonder, where do those stories come from?
They have to come somewhere.
Exactly. You know? Anyways, go ahead.
That's why I always say, I'm like, it's not each different religion, but there's one that we just missed. Anyway, that's a different philosophy for a different
Getting
time.
Getting too deep. Scaring myself.
I know. I'm stressed. They're coming. Did you go out like too?
I go,
So they're getting to the tail end and they're fighting, and once they realize, they're like, oh my god, like we're whole, like we've done it. Steven actually falls overboard and turns to stone while Mark makes it to the Field of Reeds, which is, you know, a form of heaven. Which is a funny, it's a reference, actually, because he was like, this is heaven. She's like, well, one of the heavens, you know, astral plane, you should see, it's gorgeous. Astral plane is a reference to Wakanda and the ancestors.
And funny that, I'm glad you brought that up. She says that this is one of many.
Yeah.
We're going into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness tomorrow. So excited.
So
it's funny that she brings that up before the show comes, or before the movie comes out.
Yep.
Granted, we already know these different planes exist.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen it to this level yet with this movie.
No.
So it's interesting. What's interesting is that her phrasing of it.
Yeah.
You know?
One of many.
Yeah.
So he gets to the Field of Reeds and he's like, but what about Steven? And she's like, he's, you know, the Duat has him now.
Can't basically, once you fall overboard, you're you're SOL.
Yeah, you're done.
Fubard.
Yeah. He was like, what if I go back? And she goes, if you go back, you can't come back.
Yeah.
And he decides to go back anyway. And they have a really beautiful moment of him kneeling on the sand, the Duat. And Duat always reminds me of the Pokemon. So I can't stop not thinking of that. So they're kneeling and he's talking and he's like, you know, I couldn't have done anything without you. Like, blah, 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 romance, love.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. They were living, laughing, loving. And then he leaned down. He's turning to stone. They finally, like, lock hands with the heart in his palm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what happens from here? Because I don't know. And all of a sudden, this light shines on it, and they both...
Shine bright like a diamond, bitch.
Like Rihanna came through.
She did.
She came through. And they...
Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. I don't know why I'm doing it like that song.
So good.
Thank you.
And...
That's what she came through. Started singing. You're welcome.
I can't. So... They are broken, and they run to the door because Osiris opened the door. Yep. They run to the door because Osiris has opened the gate to the world, basically.
For them to come back.
Yeah, for them to come back. And so they get to their body, and Khonshu goes, Mok? Or he Mok.
Mok? Yeah.
Yeah, in that, like, weird tone.
Also, to point out, Tawaret says, if you go back, she's like, you don't just get to go back to anybody. You're going back to your body that's been bullet ridden.
Yeah.
So, he's back, but he's been shot. Yeah, like he's literally in the process of dying again.
Yeah. So then Khonshu's like, oh my God, he's back. So then he goes and the episode ends with him becoming Moon Knight once again.
Yeah. Which was super, like, super cool imagery.
Yeah, it was very pretty.
I told Celine, I go, for the show being called Moon Knight, he's not really in the costume a lot.
No.
Which, I mean,
it's fine.
Doesn't need to be.
No.
I think this is the start of something for his character. Like I said in a previous episode, he hasn't signed a contract.
He hasn't not signed a
contract. Right. I think he's just waiting to see how popular the show has become. And if it becomes popular, which it has been, right? It just means a bigger payday for him. Because
they're
like, oh, I made this character popular. Now you got to pay me more. Not dumb.
Smart.
Yeah, it's... Again, we don't really know what's going on.
No.
This whole episode is a trip.
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth.
It's very good. I'm not going to lie to you guys. We've said every episode we don't know what's going on. We really don't.
No. There's a moment in this episode where Mark Steven is in, like, the psych ward talking to Dr. Harrell. And for a split second, his voice changes. Almost like an Eastern New York accent.
He's like... What do you think, boss?
Yeah.
Like, you think we can get out of here?
Yeah. You fucking talking to me?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
And it doesn't sound like Mark. And it doesn't sound like Steven.
No. But even in the subtitles, it says Mark.
Yeah.
But I was like, Mark's never talked like that. Mark's never talked like that before.
He talks like a maiden man. Like, he's like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, doc.
Yeah.
You got issues? Huh? Yeah. That's like how he talks.
Talking to me? Yeah.
Like he's leaning all the time.
Yeah. Hunched over.
Yeah, she's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's how they come
up. It is. Not all, but a lot.
Yes. And so it doesn't sound like Mark, and it's obviously not Steven, but I digress.
There have been hints throughout the whole show that there's a third personality.
I've said his name before.
Yes.
Jake Lockley.
Yes. Which is funny, because in the first episode, the one guy calls him Scotty.
Huh.
I thought that was going to mean something.
I thought it was too. That was a theory that I put out there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's the third personality of Scotty, but I think he's just dicking around. It could mean something later.
Maybe. Anyways, So there's been hints throughout from the very first episode that there's more than just the two.
Yep.
And in this one, again, they're hinting that there's more than just the two.
Yep.
Like, I'm convinced there's a third. But
there has to be, because they even advertised it as having a third personality.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's Khonshu.
No. At first I did.
At first we both did.
But then I'm like, no, they're too different.
No.
But yeah, I'm convinced that there's a third. And it's just the one show where I just really just don't. I understand what's going on, but I don't understand what's going on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I'm following what's happening.
But it's like still kind of like, what are the puzzle pieces to this?
Right. And I admit, I don't know a whole lot about Egyptian mythology.
No.
You know?
It's a difficult one to follow.
So, like, I think that kind of plays a factor into it where I'm like, okay, I'm not very familiar with this. And
it's, yeah, we have to look a lot of stuff up.
Yeah.
Which we haven't really had to do for a long time.
No. Even just, like, early Marvel movies, like, I never really had to look anything up.
No, because they were explaining it to you.
Right. Not saying they don't explain it here, but it. But they don't really.
They kind of don't.
No.
No.
They kind of are just like, yep, this is their name, and we're not going to tell you what they do.
Just wait.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a very heartbreaking episode, though, because you find out, like Celine was talking about, Mark made up Steven to compartmentalize with his trauma,
mm-hmm.
which, like we were talking about, everyone does to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Some more than others, apparently. Obviously, that's traumatic as a child. I don't know how you wouldn't.
He was so scared of his mom.
Right. You know, because your mom's supposed to be your protector. Your mom is supposed to be the one you can talk to about most things.
Mm-hmm.
And she was that person.
But then she wasn't.
And I think that was heartbreaking. Jarring and hard for him to handle.
Yeah.
So he did the best he could and created Dr. Stephen Grant. Yeah. Who was based on a fictional Indiana Jones type character.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
That was fun. I liked that.
Kind of fun how they connected it.
Yeah.
Not cool that he developed a problem. It's a very sad episode, though. Just
in general, it was super sad.
What is it with episode 5?
It always is. Loki's was sad, too.
Yes. Last thing I want to talk about, unless there's anything else you want to talk about. One of the things I really liked in this, kind of a callback to WandaVision, was when Mark was having his breakdown in the street and he like fell to his knees and was like grabbing his chest.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing that Wanda did on the very last episode when she.
Oh, it is?
Remember when she walked to the house that her and Vision were going to build?
She dropped down.
And she grabbed onto the picture and was like clenching her chest and sobbing. So interesting parallels, how they are like similar or like similar but different. That makes sense. So I don't know if I have anything else to talk about.
I don't think I do either, actually. Not an enchilada.
I am sad that we only have one episode left.
I know. It's a good run.
I mean, like any Marvel show, I want more.
I always want more. It's always, like, a matter of... If we could just get, like, 24 episodes like they used to do with shows and get them all at once.
I've been watching Star Trek The Next Generation with Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard. And their seasons are, like, 24, 25 episodes. Hour-long episodes. And we got this 6-episode bullshit. And, like, Star Trek, most of their episodes are pretty good. And I'm like, okay, well, apparently we just don't do that anymore, so that's cool, that's fine.
I don't know why.
I mean, I honestly would have quality over quantity, but back in the day, it was quality and quantity. So I don't get what changed.
I think that it's easier to make bulk episodes.
Well, and I know Marvel's shows are more expensive, because they try to do them, like, cinema quality shows.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I'm just you know, even after we watch like a Marvel movie, after we saw No Way Home, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait for Doctor Strange. I want it now. You know?
We have been, you guys, this should have come out in March, but before that, it should have come out in 2021.
Yeah, in May, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then it got moved to March this year, which got delayed again to now May.
Yes.
And that like came pretty late. It was like January when they announced that, which was like super weird. But yeah, I think that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I got for tonight.
All right. Well, if that's all we got, then TJ and Celine.
Out.
All right.
Bye, bye, bye.
It's like, are we doing it?
Bye,
we're
bye.
Doing it. Bye bye.
Don't wanna be
for you.
Playing and giving
to
crazy, but it ain't no lie.
Bye bye bye.
I didn't expect that at all.
Hey, like, okay, I gotta do something that's different because I do the same thing every time. So I'm like an old lady.
Yodel next time, be like,
bye bye.
Pardon.
Progressively louder. All right. Bye, guys. Yeah.